Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Not going to try to hold you too long, but I'm going to try to get this in. First of all, I want you to go to the book of 2 Timothy. Let me start there. When the Lord started dealing with me with this, I started thinking about this time and the season which we're in. And I'm not talking about autumn or summer or one of those types of things. But this is a different type. Yes, fall, but I was thinking more about the children with them going back to school. And how summer vacation's over and they have to go back to school for more instruction. So the title of this message is The ABCs of the School of Grace. Amen. The Wisdom of God to the Body.
Amen.
In these days, folks are trying to find their destiny. You hear it all over the airwaves on, you should do this, and you should do that, and you should go into this direction, and you should go into that direction. But man, he really can't tell you about your destiny. The only one who can tell you about your destiny is the one who made you.
Amen.
Amen.
And he's already put in place the steps and the process for you to reach your destiny.
Amen.
The problem is, a lot of times, like I was telling, we were rehearsing yesterday, and we were talking about, I like silly stuff, you know, and one of the movies I like is the old 1931 picture called Dracula. Silly. But in the picture, one of the key moments was when Dr. Van Helsing was talking to Count Dracula, and he came up to him with a box. And he opened the box. Dracula didn't know what was in the box. And when he saw it, he smacked it out of his hand because he didn't like what he saw. Getting back to destiny, a lot of people don't like what they're going to see in what God has for us. So we're going to start. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. I'm going to start there. Remember, this is the ABCs of the School of Grace, the Wisdom of God to the Body. Now, I'm a teacher, so we're going to be... Not going to be so much preaching today, but it's going to be teaching because we have to know who we are, where we are in the body, what standing and what state we're in so that we can move into the destiny that God wants us to have. Because it's plainly written. See, a lot of folks, I'm going to just say this before we get started on it. A lot of folks think this is going to happen is one day we're going to be in church and we're going to be shouting and praising God and all of a sudden it's going to drop on us like that. Boom! The destiny's going to drop and we're going to be all in the place where we're supposed to be. No, it's not going to happen like that. Anytime God has a place for you to move, he is always going to use two things. He'll use prophecy and he'll use doctrine and instruction. For example, when he told Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. That was the prophecy. Here's the doctrine and instruction. Abraham, move away from your kinsmen. In order for that prophecy to be brought through, he had to receive doctrine and instruction in order for him to fulfill it. God always has doctrine and instruction for his people. Problem is, a lot of folks don't like to be told what to do because when it comes to doctrine and instruction, that's like you saying, are you trying to hold me back? Because this is the Wild West and I'm used to just jumping on a horse and just riding off. Going where I want to go, doing what I want to do. No, God always has doctrine and instruction. Let's read this here. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not a man wrote it, but it was inspired by the Spirit of God. And it is useful or profitable. It's servile and it's helpful for doctrine in what is true, for reproof in convicting of what is false. It's also useful for correction in what is wrong, and for instruction in righteousness, or instruction in what is right. Now, we have a lot of folks, they bring, you know, we get caught up in things. It's not so good to get caught up in the cliches. A lot of the church is full of cliches. We pray for things that we don't have to pray for. Here we go. Here's one of them. We pray, Lord, order my steps. Lord, order my steps. When the Bible says a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So the prayer is not for you to order my steps, Lord. It's for you to help me to stay righteous, and then my steps will already be ordered. But because it sounds good and folks singing and they get all happy and all what, we take it out of order. God has everything laid out in place for us to succeed, but we have to go His way. So now, once again, our scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work that is in the ministry. God will equip you according to the scripture, but it's by the doctrine and instruction. Now, let's go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts, the 28th chapter. Why are you going there? Because I need to show you something. We need to know who we are. I was listening to a brother on TV, and he was talking about the Jews, and he was talking about us, and he was talking about, yeah, the Jew, God is married to the Jews, but we're the bride of Christ. No, we are not the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Jews are the bride, the Gentiles are the body. Amen. Now, Acts 28 chapter, and we're going to start the 27th verse. This is a prophecy that God said, it's said in Isaiah, and Paul is re-speaking this to the people here at this time. 28 and 27 in the book of Acts, it says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Who is he talking to here? He is talking to the Jews. He's talking to the Jews. Here is, because a lot of folks think that the church started at the day of Pentecost. It did not. He was still dealing with the Jews. The Jews were the one who went up into the upper room of Jerusalem and were endued with power. Amen. Some of the law was still taking place, because when Jesus walked the earth, remember now, you couldn't say things out of order and God would get you. What happened with Zacchaeus when the angel came down here and told him about John? He said he didn't believe it. What happened? His mouth was closed up until the baby was born. That doesn't happen in grace. We're going to talk about. Also, there's another incident. How many remember Ananias and Sapphira? Raise your hands. I want to see how many remember that. Well, there's some that don't, so I'm going to explain it. There was a way of doing things. When God wanted something, he would command all of the people to take part in it. God commanded back in those days, let no man appear before me empty-handed. God will put something in your hand so that at the proper time you could give it. Right. Well, Ananias and Sapphira were supposed to take part in this giving. They promised and said that they were going to give whatever the man asked. Well, they got to thinking to themselves, well, that's too much. I ain't giving all that. So they took some of the money up there and only gave them half. And when the Spirit of the Lord revealed it to them, killed Ananias. Why? Because that was under a different dispensation. He's still dealing with the Jews. When Sapphira came in and she told him, so we're going to take you. The same thing that happened to you, your husband's going to happen to you. God slew her. Why? Because it was under a different dispensation. The Gentiles had not yet begun. Some of them had begun to get saved, but he was still dealing with the Jews. Now this prophecy that we just read comes in. It's talking about Israel, how they're tired of hearing about God. They're tired of hearing the doctrine. They're tired of hearing the instruction. So God says, that I would heal you. Be it known, 28th verse, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. That's where the church began. Amen. Amen. We are the church. Now, turn to Acts 1. 1:1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That word there, gospel of God, means the gospel of the grace of God. Grace begins here. That's where the church begins. Amen. That's where we begin. Amen. Now, so we're going to look at this. Like I said, I'm going to do some teaching today. So, I mean, I don't like to do this because I know folks don't like talk. You know, we like excitement. We like jumping and all of this stuff. But there's sometimes where God has to sit you down and instruct you on how that you should proceed Amen. In order for you, once again, to reach the destiny that you want to reach. Amen. Now, so he separated unto the and called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter, on the other hand, is called an apostle to the Jews. Right. Now, he tried to tell Peter to give Peter Paul's job, but Peter, when he showed him in the dream about the sheep, everybody remember that? Right. The four-cornered sheep. Peter said that was unclean and common, so he couldn't send Peter. He had to send Paul because he didn't want to deal with the Gentiles. So Paul is chosen out to deal with us. Now, what does Romans represent? Romans represents doctrine and an instruction. And what it reveals is what God has done with sins and sin. You have to know there are two different things. Most of us know that. Sins deals with the acts that we do. Okay? The sin is talking about the nature of sin. Now, God has been dealing with the nature of sin all along. It hasn't just started since Romans. It hasn't been started just since Pastor Gardner been talking about flesh. This has been going on for a long time. But what happens is that going back to that mirror again, show that mirror, we don't want to see what God's showing us. Right. Folks don't want to see it. But you got to see it in order Amen. To reach your destiny. Amen. So it reveals what God has done with sins and the sinner. He's covered and now we're saved. We're taken out of the degradation and we are now justified by faith. I'm no longer a sinner. The nature is still there, but I'm no longer a sinner. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I am united to Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection life. And in studying the book of Romans begins the purpose and the process of the mystery. See, those things were given to us. Those things are about us. Right. From Romans to Thessalonians, those are about us. Right. It's going to get some folks mad. But folks say, well, you know, we just need the teaching of Jesus. You know, in the Gospels. Well, Jesus didn't teach his own word. What did he say? He said, I speak that which I hear from the Father. Amen. Moses spoke what he heard from God. So now we're going to make a difference between what Moses and Jesus heard from heaven from what Paul heard from heaven.
Right.
We're going to say we don't need that. When you say that, you begin to cut your destiny off.
Amen.
Now, when we go to Corinthians, we're not going to be here too long, but I'm going to give you this curriculum, if you will. Go to Corinthians, the first chapter, 10th verse. When we get off from that teaching, God has a way of getting you back in line. Corinthians is the reproof. In other words, it reproves what Romans teaches.
Amen.
What Corinthians is talking about is the failure to practice what Romans taught you, that you are now saved and that we are united to Christ. Folks got into factions and cliques and schisms and all that stuff, and they separated. They wanted to hear this teacher, and they wanted to hear that teacher, and this teacher wasn't no good, and this teacher don't teach on baptism right. Or you baptize in the name of the Father, or you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or you baptize in the name of Jesus, when Jesus said you baptize in the name of all of them.
Amen.
But we're going to separate, because we don't, I don't like what that's saying. That is a practical failure to see that you are in the one body, united with Christ and with the other brother. Now, your brothers and sisters.
Right.
1 Corinthians, first chapter. I'm just going to read the one verse. 10th verse. First Corinthians 1 and 10. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly or maturely joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment or in the same opinion. We are the body of Christ, and we have to function like a body. What do you mean? When I take a step, my whole body takes a step. I'm stepping in that direction. My whole body, the brain all the way down to the toes, are moving in this direction. It don't want to move this way, it won't want to go that way. That's the way the church wants to do, though. We got the name, different names on the marquees and all that, and the different names in the what's the name. And my church is better than yours, and my anointing is better than yours. How is your anointing better than yours when Jesus is only one Jesus?
Amen.
And he is called the Anointed One. Therefore, there is only one anointing.
Amen.
The same way there's only one blood, one type of blood flowing through my body. So that the hand, this hand can't say to this hand, I don't need you.
Right.
Folks will say, I don't need you. We're born again together in the same church, but we can't get along because I'm better than Pastor Relevant over here. My own mind, my own thinking. Him. My anointing's better than his. Because I don't see him do the same thing. When you look at your organs in your body, they don't all do the same thing. They all have different functions and purposes. And they all unite together and function together to make a whole person, a whole healthy person. We, as the body of Christ, have to unite together as a whole man in order to fulfill the destiny that God has for us. Come on, give God some praise. Now, there's warnings to this, so you just can't do anything you want to. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. And it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We make up the body of God. In the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle, which was a type shadow of the body of God. We make up that temple now. God dwells within us. All of us. So if I tear down one of my brothers and my sisters, God's going to tear me down. If I mar them or mar their character, I'm going to reap what I sow, and God's going to mar my character, cause it, allow my character to be marred. If I destroy somebody, that's why you got to be careful. We're talking about that in the Bible study. Folks will mess folks, other folks up, and they say, oh, Lord, I forgive me. Think it's going to all be good. No. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's not scoffed at. He's not laughed at. If I do something and ask forgiveness, yeah, God is going to forgive me for the act. But that seed that I put out, I'm going to get it back.
Amen.
Why? Because he is the immutable one. That means his word does not change. God does not change from dispensation to dispensation. He's still God. And his word, he still holds it above his name. And at that word, everything has to bow down to it. Come on, give God some praise. And we're going to move on. Go to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. What the book of Galatians does or tells you, it tells you about the doctrinal failure. Corinthians tells you about the practical failure. In other words, what you're supposed to put in practice. Galatians tells you about the doctrinal failure or the failure to heed the word of God. Because once again, that is what going to move you into your destiny. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way that your mind can be transformed is by the word of God.
Amen.
And since this is specifically picked out for us, you got to move into it.
Amen.
I like the Old Testament. I like the Gospels. I like Revelation. Okay, like them. That still doesn't mean that you can ignore this. A lot of folks say, well, I don't need this. Yes, you do, because this is to you. Let me tell you something. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are good, but those were to the Jews. They were to the Jews. It represented Jesus as king. It represented Jesus as servant. It represented him as the man, and it also represented him as God. That's what the four Gospels do. That's why they're different. Some of them are the same. One is different. The Gospel of John is different because it portrays him as God himself.
Amen.
But it was to the Jews. Remember when the woman came to Jesus asking about the healing? And she said, what have I to do with you? Your time's not yet. The word came to the Jew first, then to us. Once they rejected it, that's when we moved in. See, everybody wants to be Israel. Israel is on the bench. That's where they are. Because they rejected the word of God. They are not being you. It's just like a basketball team or a football team. You disobey the coach. The coach, what are you going to do? He's going to put you on the pine. Israel is on the pine, yet folks want to be like them. Yeah, so guess what's going to happen? You disobey the word of God, you're going to be on the pine with them. It's as simple as that. You're on the bench. Why? Because of their disobedience. Now, Galatians. So that represents the failure as to the teaching, the doctrinal failure as to the teaching of Romans. They sought to remove themselves from the gospel and perfect themselves outside of the gospel. When you do that, all you're doing is yielding to your own flesh. Galatians 1:6, it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Which is not another. In other words, it's not good news. You operating according to your own thoughts, your own feelings. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than this that we have preached, let him be accursed. In other words, that which is for you, you got to take it. So that once again, There's no difference between us and God. Amen. Folks want to say that there's no difference between us. Amen. God don't care nothing about color. He don't care nothing about race. Yep. He made us all in his image. Right. The first man had all the colors in him. Okay, and as he began to the spread out, man began to increase. As you went to the different regions, that's where the color comes from. And yet, but I use Reverend Grant. If she and I are the same blood type, if she needs blood or if I need blood, we can share blood.
Right.
Cause it's not about the skin.
Right.
See, folks don't they miss those things like that.
Amen.
They miss those things like that. We're different colors, different cultures, and yet we can save each other's life by the passing of blood.
Right.
But man, in his twisted thinking, he'll go apart from that, go into hate, and go into separatism and all this. That's what he said. Now, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into this grave. See, we have unearned favor. That's what that word grace means. We have unearned favor. God has blessed us or made us happy. That's what that word blessed means. He has made us happy with that unearned favor. In other words, I don't care how long I live or how much good I do, I cannot earn the favor of God. I cannot earn the salvation. It was freely given. Yeah. So I take that salvation humbly.
Amen.
You see these folks? You ask them how I'm blessed and highly favored. You're not any more blessed than anybody else. I'm serious. You're not even more blessed than that sinner man. Why? Because the grace of God has been given to everybody. It's been given to everybody. It's just like free benefits. Those in the church take advantage of the benefits. Those are, I don't want that. But it's still offered to them. So we don't look down upon our brothers and sisters. What did Jesus do with the woman of the well? He told her about herself. Didn't condemn her. She brought her whole family up to Jesus. We don't have to condemn folks. We ain't got to condemn the homosexual and all that. That ain't your job. Jesus didn't condemn them.
Amen.
Jesus offered life to them. Those that make mistakes, we're supposed to offer life to them and restore them, not persecute them. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. That's who Jesus was after. When he was going after them, that's who the ones he was getting into it with, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because they were the religious ones of the day, the religious right, the moral majority, the left and the right, however you want to say it today, you tie that in with the politics today. Preachers trying to tie America in, God in with America. When America needs to be tying itself in with God.
Amen.
God ain't rubber. He's not rubber stamping that nonsense that's coming out of Washington. Are you kidding me? Because they say they're the moral majority. You ask them what you're doing. Oh, I don't have to tell you. Yes, you do. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're not telling me you're born again? I don't have to give you my vote. I don't care if you go to 100 churches.
Amen.
Serious. Folks trying to bind you in on all different types of things.
Amen.
Try to bind you up. They try to bind you back into the Old Testament. A lot of folks, I'm hearing that, they first of all, they were talking about the first fruit. You got to pay first fruit. No, you don't. That was to the Jews.
Right.
First fruit meant just that. Fruit. When you raised corn or whatever, you brought a tenth of that in to the priest.
Right.
That's when they started talking. I told me, he wasn't talking to me. That's what I tell him. He was talking to the Jews. Next thing you know, folks talking about Passover offering. Passover? And telling folks, that almost telling them to the point that you're not blessed if you don't give in the offering.
Right.
You're not bound. It's free will offering.
Right.
Now the folks talking about the Day of Atonement. Now the Jews had a specific day because back then they had to go on that day for the whole nation to be covered.
Right.
My day of atonement was when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. That was my day of atonement. And as long as I stay right with him, now I do have to forget it, but I don't have to repeat no day of atonement. In other words, I don't have to get saved all over again. I just clean up the mess. Ask God to forgive me and move on. Folks trying to tie back in there. They're trying to change the gospel. Jump down to 11th verse, 1 and 11. Paul is saying, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In other words, Paul didn't make this up. Because that's what they were accusing Paul of. You making up your own gospel. When Pastor Gardner first started preaching this, they came and told him, you making up your own gospel. When the gospel is plainly, it's plainly here. All you have to do is open up this I like to say the part that nobody likes to go to between Romans and Thessalonians.
Right.
It's plainly here. So he says it's not after man. He says, for I neither received it or man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation or the revealing or the manifestation of Jesus Christ. In other words, when Jesus came down and met Paul on the road to Damascus, he gave him that gospel.
Amen.
Paul was already a well-learned man in the things of the Old Testament. God took that what he had and brought it in. That goes back to that. See, Paul and them, this is written down for us from cover to cover. They didn't have all that back then.
Right.
Folks think they had the Bible back then in Jesus' day. No, they did not. They had a few scrolls from the Old Testament, and the New Testament was being written along as they lived.
Amen.
A lot of the stuff didn't get written down on scrolls and paper until after they died.
Amen.
So it had to be by revelation from God for them to bring this out to us.
Right.
Therefore, we dare not reject it.
Amen.
So he said, it's neither man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Come on, give God some more praise. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Start there. Now, Ephesians represents doctrine and instruction again. In other words, God is trying to take you up steps. Seven steps. Seven is God's number of perfection or maturity. What Ephesians talks about is the mystery of God, which was always hidden and never before revealed. Individual Jews and Gentiles gathered out and made into one new man. Now, God had to hide that part about us being in it because we were rejected by the Jews. They didn't want to have nothing to do with us. We were the barbarians. So he had to hide the fact that he was going to make the Gentiles his body. Otherwise, they already rejected him and killed him anyway. If they'd have heard that, they wouldn't have nothing to do with Jesus.
Right.
So they had to hide that part. That's the part that's hidden, that we are the new man in Christ. Where there's no Gentile, no Jew, but it's all Jesus.
Amen.
And we are seated in heavenly places right now in Christ. Amen. Christ is at the head. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And I'm part of his body. And right now I'm sitting in Christ in the throne. Amen. Now.
Amen.
I don't have to wait to get to heaven. I'm sitting there now.
Amen.
So that ought to change my attitude about things.
Amen.
Now, go to Ephesians 1 and 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus said it like this. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. That the place that was prepared was his body.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's the heavenly place.
Amen.
We are in Christ, all of us. Everybody who is born again is in Christ, and we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Now, all of the spiritual blessings that is in Christ are in us.
Amen. Amen.
Now, each one, once again, according to how God measured it out, we do different things. This left hand is on this left side of the body, so it takes care of that. It's not on the right side, it's on the left side. The heart pumps blood. The lungs breathe. Everything in this body has its function, but it's all one. One don't separate one from the other. It's all according to as he's chose out. So now, let's go up to the seventh verse. And I'm going to start in the middle of it. This is according to the riches of his grace. Once again, this is by grace. It's not anything that we have earned, but it's by his grace. According to the purpose. His purpose was to abundantly bless us with riches, his undeserved favor. Wherein he hath abound toward us, he moved toward us wisdom and insight into how to operate in this body.
Amen.
See, you can't do what you don't know.
Right.
You have to know how to operate. Now, I'm trying to give it to you too fast so that you can kind of digest it as we go along. You cannot do what you don't know. That's why it's important to you for you to receive all of these things. So according to his purpose of the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded or excelled toward us in all wisdom and insight, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, or the desire of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one things all things in Christ, which are in heaven. In other words, those that have gone on to be with the Lord are still a part of the body.
Amen.
No separation from Christ. Because the body is mystical. It's not like my body, but it's mystical. Therefore, if you are in Christ, if you die in Christ, you are still part of the body.
Amen.
But we have to understand and operate that way. I understand that each member of this congregation is part of the body. And I treat you as such. Because that's the way God intended it. That's how we all minister together. We're all set in together. This body was created. It didn't take one cell and then add it to one. It came as one, joined to the egg, and then it multiplied. It spread out until I'm the individual I am now. It's the same way with the body of Christ. We all move together. Christ is the head, and we move with him.
Amen.
According to his purpose and according to his design. Not the way I feel or the way I thought. It's not according to that. So, that in the fullness of times, all things, he might gather together in all things Christ, which both are in heaven and on earth in him. In him. Now he's made this known to us. So we are, in other words, we're not because with the way the Jews looked at us, we're not second class citizens.
Right.
We're not second class citizens. We're part of the body. Come on, give God some praise. We're going to continue to move on. Go to the book of Philippians. Once again, there's reproof. This book reproves itself from the practical failure to exhibit the teaching of Ephesians in manifesting the mind of Christ as members of the one body.
Amen.
And not holding the members together. In other words, holding them, having regard for all the members. Go to the second chapter. We're going to start at 2 and 1, Philippians. It says, if there be therefore any consolation or exhortation or appeal in Christ, if any comfort of love or incentive of love, if any fellowshipping or spiritual fellowship, that supernatural, if any bowels and mercies, which talks about tender affection and compassion. Paul basically saying here, I've seen some of the stuff that you do. If you really want to make me happy, fulfill my joy, become like-minded.
Man.
Become like-minded. Be ye that ye be like-minded, having the same love, the love of God, because man's got his own love. Man will love this one more than that. He'll lift this one up and he'll push that one down. As members of the same body, we're not to do that with one another. Be like-minded, be of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In other words, no faction should come up in the church. Nobody should be so self-centered that they're so worried about their own ministry that they're not worried about other ministries. Pastor Gardner is a good one for that. Pastor Gardner tries to develop all the ministries that are in the church.
Yeah.
That's his job. Everybody that's got a talent is to be used, because that's what God has energized and placed his spirit within us for. So there are no bench warmers. Everybody has a part in it. Now, you may not get up here and do this job, but you have a part. You have a calling from God. You have a destiny from God. And you have to get in this book and find out what it is. Yes, yeah, sometimes they can prophesy to you about it, but it's up to you to move into it. Because let me tell you, they can prophesy to you 100 years. Until you begin to get in this book and find out what it's talking about, you will never move into your destiny. You have to do it. When Christ was coming up, Christ waxed strong in the scripture. In other words, Christ studied the scroll. He knew about Moses. He knew about it. It didn't just come to him. It wasn't just, he just sat up one day and all of a sudden it clicked. Right. You don't open this book, if you don't get into it, you're not going to get nothing out of it.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God.
Yeah.
Not to be showing each other off. We want to show how much, I'm better than Rev. I know more words than he does. It's not about that. God's the one called. Pastor Rutherford didn't call me into the ministry. God did. So I have to prove to God that I know his word. So he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He said, but in lowliness of mind. In other words, one of the aspects, one of the parts of the nature of Christ was him being humble. He humbled himself. Think of it. Here's God the Father, God the Son. And he said, well, we're going to have to redeem mankind. So Christ says, well, I will go down. He strips himself of all his glory, all of his divine power, all of his supernatural power, and come down to this earth, like, and come into the earth, into the world, being born, not knowing anything, just like us.
Amen.
He didn't have no special advantage. Why? Because he couldn't command us to overcome if he didn't overcome. The death was not stacked. Jesus had to have the opportunity to sin just like we do. He says, choose ye this day. Jesus made his choice that he was going to follow the Father.
Amen.
But the death wasn't stacked. He had to learn about things. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost just like we are. He heard from heaven. We hear from heaven also through Christ. So he lowered himself. He lowered himself so that we could have the ministry that we have today. That's how much he loved us. Now, we're supposed to look after those that are around us to make sure they are flourishing. It's not about my ministry alone. Folks, just like the was in the first Batman, Jack Nicholson. Wait till they get a load of me. It's not about that. It's about the body together.
Amen.
You have to uphold each other in the body of Christ. That's what this. Jesus holds us all together. We have to hold each all together. Because the Bible says that every joint or every cell in the body supplies every other cell. In other words, you may not get up here and open this book and preach, but I can shake your hand and say, how you doing today? And that can encourage somebody. I can put a smile on my face and I can encourage somebody. I can say, God is with you in spite of your problem. That is going to encourage somebody. And everybody in here can do that. That's what God has called us all to do. But if I'm always looking out for me and not concerned with you, then I'm not operating according to the principle of Philippians. Come on, give God some praise. We're going to continue on. Let's go to the book of Colossians. One last thing about Philippians. So when I get through doing all that, it says, let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That I'm looking out for the others in the church and not just my own self. Amen. Now, Colossians is correction. Doctrinal failure as to the teaching. Wrong doctrines which come forth from not holding the head or not holding Christ where he is right now and not seeing their completeness and perfection in Christ, which speaks of ritualism, ceremonialism, religious rite, which ones will one thinks will complete, perfect, or mature them. Let me tell you something. You have to be careful of what you do. You can make prayer a ritual.
Yeah.
Where you don't get nothing out of.
Man.
A lot of ceremonialism. I just talked about it. Folks talk about first fruit and a day of atonement and all of those things. Those were times past. Jesus said over there in Hebrews, I erased all that stuff. So I don't have to do none of them rituals. That's why he gave this book to us, because we weren't raised that way.
Right.
The Jews were raised up with those things. They still practice Judaism today.
Right.
We weren't raised with that. So how can we do that? God had to put this in here for us so that we could make it.
Amen.
That's why you have to have it.
Amen.
So once again, I don't see myself as complete outside of the things of God. I don't have to complete no what's that or send no offering in to get my blessing or get my destiny.
Amen.
I don't have to send it off nowhere. I can bless the place where God sent me here. And get everything that I need. Over in Corinthians, it says you've been blessed with all the blessings, all of the powers. Let me tell you something. We've got the fivefold ministry in this church.
Yeah.
All five parts of the gospel, which represents the great, operate here. Why do I have to go someplace else? I don't have to send my money downtown or down south or wherever. Put my money at where I'm getting fed. And have regard for those that God has placed here, because we're all the body of Christ. Colossians 2 and 8. It says, beware, take heed, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You've got to see to it. That's why you said to study this word. A lot of times folks come up with stuff like I'm telling you. I'm in there cleaning up, and all of a sudden, this lady comes up to me and said, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. You got to observe the Sabbath day. I said, that's not talking to me. What? So he's talking to Jews. What the Sabbath day? Jesus is the Sabbath day.
Amen.
He's the one I worship. I rest in him. Not in that. That's been done away with. Then another one, what did she come up with? Favorite, Jehovah's Witness. Let's get my car fixed and I was going to get something to eat, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh man, you didn't come. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. See, remember that TV show you watched once? And this woman, she entered this house. And she didn't know the master of the house was in there. And the The master of the house kept asking her, "Who are you?" So the guy came up and said, "Well, you know, I'm so-and-so, and you want to ask me questions?" I said, "Who are you?" My name's Tony, or whatever. This, and blah, 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 this and that. I said, "No, who are you?" And so-and-so, no, and he started getting a smile on his face because he knew where I was going. "Who are you? You coming to me here? You know, you talking this stuff and all this and that." And I just kept saying, "Who are you?" "I'm Jehovah's Witness. Have a nice day." Can't argue with him. Y'all trying to perpetrate.
Right.
That's a "who are you?"
Right.
You trying to come to me with a false doctrine and trying to pass that off as Christianity, and it's not, because they believe in a different God. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God.
Right. Right.
They don't believe he sits on the right hand.
Right.
They think he's a prophet,
right,
just like a lot of others. Oh, he's just a prophet. They didn't see the revelation that he was in time past with the Father.
Amen.
He was under another name, and his Hebrew name,
right,
was Jehovah Elohim.
Glory. Come on.
Jehovah the covenant God, Jehovah Elohim, God the second, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They were all there in the Old Testament. That's why it's important for you to study, because the Bible says a lot of places it says, "The Lord thy God." Those are two titles, not one.
Man.
It's talking about God the Father and God the Son. But if you don't get in there and study it, we think Jesus didn't come on the scene until the New Testament. Wrong. And they're all along. He was the one that told Moses to come up to the Father. And the scriptures backed up in the New Testament. No man can come unto the Father except he come through me. Moses had to come through Jesus in order to get to the Father in the Old Testament.
Amen. Amen.
That's why it's important for you to study this word. So your completeness is in Christ. It's not in ceremony. It's not in ritualism. You know, I'm going to come here. It's not in, here's another ritual we used to do. The communion. Folks used to break their neck to get in here to get to the communion table to get their sins forgiven. Well, you got to wait a whole month. Something could happen.
Right.
Something could happen in that month. I got to advocate with the Father every day. When I mess up, I don't have to wait till I get in here.
Amen.
The cracker and the juice represents the new covenant agreement that Jesus put into operation by his own blood.
Amen.
That which we have right now, the fact that I'm in his body, was signified by that cup and that juice. That's what it signifies. It signifies that you are my brother and my sister. That's what I'm supposed to remember, because this flesh, this old man, will tend to forget it, and it'll try to look over you or look by you instead of looking at you.
Yes. Amen.
Come on, give God some praise. We're almost done. Go to 19, 2 and 19. And it says, and not holding the head, in other words, not holding Christ as head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, we're tightly knit together, increases with the increase of God. We're to increase. The only way we're going to increase, though, is by this instruction and doctrine that God has put here. Notice it said to every band. In other words, nourishment comes from all over the body. Strength comes from all over my body so that I can stand up here. When I begin to move, the arm don't drop off, or the leg don't drop off. You know, pull it down to a head just standing there. Same way with the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're all knit together for the increase. Now, let's move on to Thessalonians, the last. Let me tell you something about Thessalonians. Even though this is the last in the epistles, this was the first truth that God gave Paul. He stepped it down to Paul, but we're to step up. In other words, he came down to Paul on the road to Damascus. Now he tells Paul later on, "Paul, come up hither." God wants us to increase in his word and in his knowledge. In Thessalonians, not only are we dead and risen in Christ, as in Romans. Not only are we seated in the heavenlies with Christ, as in Ephesians, but we are caught up or caught away to meet with the Lord in the air. lot of folks are caught up. We're gonna be flying around when Jesus comes back.
Oh.
Wherever Jesus appears, we're going to be caught away to that point.
Man.
The Bible says all shall see him. The only way every eye shall see him is that he's in the air and we're on the ground.
Right.
Meet him in the air. Him. He's going to be in the air. We're going to be on the ground. Now, they gave him this truth. Why? Because they were concerned that weren't going to see God. God was letting them know, you are going to see God. Why? You fulfilled this thing. Now, see, this, the Thessalonian church was the model church. Because they were small, and yet they evangelized a country the size of Great Britain. Why? By the simple truth that's in
Amen.
This book.
Amen.
They didn't have to do all the stuff that we do nowadays. We don't have to try to get somebody in there. The word drew them in. When we practice the word we're supposed to, the word is going to draw them
Amen.
In.
Amen.
Paul didn't have to do, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, they didn't have to do nothing. They didn't have to do no preaching, no teaching, because the people there were doing the preaching and the teaching, and folks was coming in. There was no strife among them. Paul didn't have to prove who he was. You know, in the letters, Paul said, Paul an apostle, because folks was always coming against him. No, they were one mind and one body on one accord, and God was moving in them. That's what God is coming. That's the destiny that we have to seek
right.
out. That we all move together as one new man in Christ, looking after each other, caring for one another, concerned about not only your family, the ministries that you have, having the true love of God. That's what this is all about. It's about the love of God.
Amen.
That's the wisdom of God,
Amen.
The love of God. The Amen. Love of God in operation in each and every. We got to love each other better than we've been doing.
Yeah.
And that's all of us.
Yeah.
We got to improve.
Yeah.
And it's by this instruction, by this book. Let me tell you something. You want to reach your destiny? God has got your destiny right here. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel of the risen one. They may have rejected him the time past, but we're not going to. He's coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That means, y'all, we're going to make mistakes, but it's going to be covered up by the love that we have one for another, so that when he comes back and he looks down in our hearts, he's going to see himself. That's what Jesus wants to see. He wants to see himself. He don't want to see no star. There's too many stars out there. Everybody's shining. You can't see Jesus. Can't see him. I'm looking at prophet so-and-so and this one, the master prophet, when Jesus didn't even call himself the master prophet. He called himself a servant. We have to be that servant. We have to lift him up. We have to proclaim Christ from one corner to the other. That's our job. God is telling us how to do it in these seven books. You got to take part, not throwing away all the others, but add to it, because it's one gospel. It's one word. You can't separate God from God. You can't separate the word from the word, but it's one word, and it's one power. It's one anointing, because it's one Christ. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. You want destiny? It's right here for you. It's got your name in it. God called you to it. He called you under grace. You didn't do nothing to earn it. I couldn't earn it. I still can't earn it. But it's by his mercy. It's by his love that I got this grace. It's by his love that I have this ministry, and that we all have ministry. We all have love. We all have grace. We all have his power, because it's one Jesus, and he put himself in everybody in the place. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand.